everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. This is the Progressive Commentary Hour. Our topic today is the militarization of the woke culture. What does that mean? A lot of people are aware that there are things occurring that are challenging their beliefs, the very way that they have traditionally lived, such as being able to be called parents. The name woman is now being challenged. Why? Father, mother, brother, sisters. Why? Why would anyone want to eliminate that when that has been the way that society is related to each other throughout all of history? Cultures don't change overnight, even when they need to, or traditions. And yet we've seen the most accelerated demand for change in American history, where words can no longer be used. They'll be called insensitive. We use certain words that are normal. They're not abusive. They're not derogatory. But now any word, any gesture can be seen as a provocation, resulting in first, very often, outburst of anger, rage. Just this past week at the University of Albany in New York, there was a outbreak of a very violent group who didn't want someone to speak. It was just a person coming in, not controversial, and to show their contempt for this person who identified as a conservative religious person, they tore up and burned the Bible, burning Bibles. My question is, what would have happened had that been the Quran or the Torah, the Talmud? Would there have been an outrage? And if there would have been, why? And if there was no outrage this time, didn't make the news, why not? Recently, we had a terrorist attack. A person went into a school and killed three children and three adults. No one knows the names of those children because the media hasn't given any unique stories to them. But everyone knows the name of the shooter. Now, in my opinion, we shouldn't be labeling this as a trans woman shooting, because it was just a person who clearly has a mental condition who committed an outrageous crime. And yet all the sympathy and empathy is for the shooter, and I don't see that also given to the victims, innocent children. That is how militarized the woke culture has become. To give us a better insight into this is one of the world's leading authorities on this subject, Dr. Tim Coles. He's doing this interview by Zoom from Great Britain. Nice to have you with us today, Tim.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.
Tim, you have such an enormously diverse background in all the different sciences. Could you give us a brief overview of what part of your educational background showed you the problems we're currently having with identity crisis, with the militarization and weaponization of the woke culture, and the whole emphasis now on schools, colleges, and all kinds of schools teaching critical race theory, that if you're born Caucasian, you're born with original sin. You can never do anything. You can never appease those who would consider you racist by your very birth. And yet where historically this would have been challenged and should have been, it's being accepted without challenge, and those who would challenge it are now being marginalized, called racist for marginalizing even a large group of a small C conservative African-American and other people of color. So even if you criticize critical race theory as a person of color, you're now denigrated with racial epithets thrown against you and your whole reputation tried to be erased. So let's break this all down. First, what provides you with insights that are unique? And then I'd like for you to go through the militarization and the weaponization and the politicalization of woke from both the left and the right. The forum is yours.
Sure. Well, actually, I had a personal experience of being canceled recently, which I suppose gives me a personal insight into the architecture of how people, in my case, in academia, are counseled. I received my PhD from Plymouth University in the UK back in 2017 on the issue of blindness and visual impairment. I was looking into ways to improve audio description services for blind and visually impaired people. And then once I got my PhD, I applied for a grant from a trust in the UK. And the University of Plymouth acted as my host institution. And as a student and then as a postdoctoral researcher, I never had any complaints against me or any queries about my work or anything. And my research into helping blind people was going very well. And in my spare time, I wrote about politics and human rights and the deep state and the military for a number of publications, including Nexus magazine in Australia. And somebody had read something I'd written in Nexus, and they sought out my old PhD examiner called Jane Grant, and they asked Dr. Grant to intervene to get rid of me. And I had no idea this was going on. It's only because somebody leaked the emails to me that I found out. And I was accused of being a conspiracy theorist, which is a new term that's been, well, not a new term, but a new class of person that's been invented. And we can talk about that later. But in the emails among staff, they gave zero example of what I had written that was supposedly conspiratorial or offensive. They just vaguely mentioned Nexus magazine. And I was locked out of my university email account. And I was working from a distance anyway, so I wasn't attending the university. So it was easy for them to get rid of me because they were acting as a host. I had no salaried position. The money was coming from the trust. And had I not been given access to these emails, I would never have known what was happening because I called IT support and they wouldn't tell me what was happening. The one person who did respond, a Dr. Katie Anglis at the business school, she actually threatened me by writing in bold and underlined in her email, you know, "Don't contact us again." So this was very serious. And I took the issue to the vice chancellor of the university and didn't receive a satisfactory outcome. So I'm now pursuing it through different means. So this actually follows a trend where anybody who has an original thought, whether the thought is good or bad, or whether it's accurate or inaccurate, doesn't really matter. Everybody should have a right to be able to think and express their thoughts. This is protected in the U.S. Constitution. It's also protected in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights globally. And it's even protected in theory by my own university because they have something called a dignity and respect policy, which says that controversial and unpopular ideas should be protected. There should be no consequence for voicing controversial or unpopular ideas. And what was particularly shocking about my case is that, I reiterate, not a single specific allegation was made. So this resonated very much with me because in my political work, I'd seen how this new class of person called conspiracy theorist is being used as a weapon of the state. Our societies in the so-called democratic West are very tenuous at the moment because for the last 50 years nearly, we've endured the imposition of a system of economics called neoliberalism, which is neither new nor liberal. It's based on a British colonial model, so it's not new. And it's not liberal. It's diverting massive wealth to a small number of people at the expense of everybody else. So over the last few decades, the middle class has declined by a third, and the rich have got extraordinarily rich, and the poor even poorer. And this is having a deleterious effect on society. As a response to this, the police forces around the world, including in the US, maybe especially in the US, are becoming militarized. So under Obama, for example, surplus military equipment was given to local law enforcement. And this is for population control, so that people don't rise up against their increasingly impossible economic conditions. And the other thing that's happening is the US empire is now in the final and most dangerous stages of what it calls full-spectrum dominance. The Space Command back in 1997, which is a different organization to the Space Force, they explained that they wanted to control the world by the year 2020. And of course, the Space Force was created in time for that. And they said this would include information dominance as well. So they're going after Russia and China, which is really what you'd call omnicidal, meaning the end of everything, because these nations have nuclear weapons. So nuclear powers going to proxy war with each other at the moment via Ukraine with Russia, and later it will be Taiwan with China. This is extremely dangerous. So we have two major situations happening, this quest for global dominance and these internal crises with the economy. And so we're seeing the complete militarization of everything. And 20 years ago, there was a document by NASA, which was crafted for the CIA, the FBI, military intelligence. And it said it went through the history of humans as they saw it, from tribes fighting over resources, and then standing armies fighting over land, and then oil and gas. And it said in the coming decades, which is now our time, it said the wars will be for information and to prevent societal disruptions, in their words. And it said the new enemy will be everyone. Actually said the new enemy is everyone. So this is total warfare against the population, which we had only really seen against domestic populations in history. We had not known this really in our time for the majority of people. But it's worth bearing in mind that there were always groups that had suffered from covert warfare. Like in the US, there was the FBI's counterintelligence program, which went after civil rights and the emerging women's rights and labor unions. But to have such blatant total warfare is a new scenario. And all of these crises that I mentioned are now being blamed on a new invented class of people called conspiracy theorists. And so if one has different ideas about the way the world works, and again, it doesn't matter if they're right or wrong, you should have a right to express those ideas, you're now labeled as a conspiracy theorist, which in the past was something to laugh at and ridicule, but now it's actually seen as a threat to society. So all the problems are being blamed on conspiracy theorists who the national security state are now saying pose a threat to the social order, when in fact the social order is being destroyed by this economic neoliberalism, and for sure by this US quest for global hegemony. So, and of course, this I fell into this category by being smeared by Jane Grant and Katie Anglis at the University of Plymouth, with no specifics, being a conspiracy theorist. And if you look at the in the US, for example, the Department of Homeland Security's bulletin, they're now including conspiracy theorists as threats to national security. And so this is the military aspect of where council culture is going, the ways that people with independent thinking are dealt with. I mean, it depends where you are in the world. In Ukraine, for example, the US and Britain are training fascists, and they have hit lists. The Center for Countering Disinformation, as it's called, which is part of the Ukrainian military, they actually have a list of nearly 100 people, celebrities, politicians, journalists. I'm on the list as well, which I found quite baffling because no one knows who I am. I've got no profile. And yet I'm up there with Steven Seagal and Tucker Carlson and other people who have spoken out against the war. And they describe us as information terrorists because we give an alternative view based on evidence. In fact, most of what I've written about Ukraine, I've been quoting the Pentagon studies. So that's one example of where cancel culture can go ultimately to the threats of assassination. And for people in Pakistan or Somalia, it's actual assassination by US drones. So that's where it can lead. And as far as the effects on society, it's becoming, it is toxic, absolutely, because the only response they can have to being offended or having their ideas challenged is to try and shut people down. They're losing their intelligence. They're not able to think logically or rationally through a program and to learn how to debate and to give the to think from the point of view of their opponent and to rebut that. If all they have is an illiberal knee-jerk reaction, that makes people very susceptible to being controlled by tyrants. And it's becoming so serious that a few years ago, many notable people, including Noam Chomsky, put their name to a letter in Harper's magazine calling for rational and open debate instead of cancellation.
I appreciate your overview. Thank you, Tim. I'm going to lay out a larger scenario. Please take any part of my scenario to address. About 3 years ago, I was watching a program. Someone says, you got to turn this on. You won't believe the conversation. It was by a so-called liberal guru or something like that. And it was a person saying that you can't change a baby's diaper without first getting the permission of the baby, and you can't hold the hand of your loved one if you're going for a walk before you first get their permission. Otherwise, it's some form of transgression upon their sovereignty of their body. It's an assault upon them. If you were cuddling with your partner at night, you couldn't cuddle before you first woke them up and got permission. And I'm thinking, this is just insane. Well, it seeped into virtually every area of our academia, and then from there into the workplace. So now we have major corporations such as Disney, major corporation Nike, and Budweiser. We have these legacy names that historically people watched the movies, watched television, bought their beer, bought their clothes without thinking about it, you know, because there was no politics attached to it. It was just basic consumerism. We have a product, we think it's the best product, and Americans bought the product. And then we thought, well, if we go to these certain schools, we'll get a better education. The Ivy League schools, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Columbia, University of Pennsylvania, University of Chicago, Brown's University. It wasn't true. You can go to a state-educated curriculum school and get the same quality of education because they all have to meet the same identical educational standards to be accredited and maintain that accreditation. It's just this perception that there's a very important class distinction on everything in society. if you're successful, you can't live in a common working class neighborhood. And hence, we don't find, with rare exception, and you'd have to go back about 40 years ago to find that, where if you become successful, you just stay where you're at. You're happy with your neighbors, your friends, your family. Why change? But now everything is everybody wants to be on the red carpet of life. Everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame. And then what happens in the 16th moment? Well, if you're not happy with what you've achieved, and it seems like an awful lot of people in our society are not happy with their achievements, then you have to go to another 15 minutes, and hence your entire life is predicated upon what is the perception of other people to me? Am I okay with them? So likes become the most important thing from people you will never meet, maybe bots, not even real people, but that's irrelevant. You know, eat this food, but it's unhealthy. Doesn't matter. Eat it. We're advertising it. But the body can't digest that much protein. You can't store protein. So why not just give me a little bit of protein? One forkful of an animal protein is all you need for a day's requirement. All right, you're getting plenty of protein. You're getting about 40 grams of protein. No. I want the huge, huge one. Even more. I want French fries on it and onion rings. And think, wow. And then they give you a hamburger with a sugar-coated donut on top and bottom. You think, well, who came up with that idea? But more importantly, why would anyone think that's a good idea to buy it? And yet we are a nation that's morbidly obese. We have more heart disease, cancer. We have more dementia, Alzheimer's, arthritis, diabetes than ever before in our history. We're sick. But why aren't we preventing it? Nothing in our entire government prevents anything. And yet everything they give us causes the sanctity of our body and freedom of choice to be violated. You will take this vaccine, or we will, in New York State, we will pass a law, which they tried to do, and it was defeated last year. Now they're reintroducing it, that will allow the state to come in to your home, your workplace, and forcibly arrest you. We can detain you in your home. We're building confinement camps, not concentration camps. They're not meant to kill you. They're meant to confine you to a space, much like the Japanese confinement camps during World War II. But you will not have rights. You will not have habeas corpus. The Fourth Amendment is no longer allowed. The First Amendment is no longer allowed. The Second Amendment, of course, will not be allowed. Well, can I defend myself? No. What if I'm completely healthy and can show you I'm completely healthy? I'm not infected with anything. Doesn't matter. We've written the language so broad that we have gotten enough of our supporters who are completely captured politicians to agree that you're a threat to society. But I haven't done anything. But you read things. You read conspiracy theories. Your concept there, Tim. You were reading people like Chris Hedges and Matt Taibbi. And how dare you read Naomi Wolf? But she was a feminist. She's a humanist. She cares about people, all people, not just women, but men as well. No, she's a conspiracy theorist because she said that the real statistics on the vaccine death and injury to pregnant women, to young children, was understated. And the actual statistics shows a huge, huge, almost epidemic level of injury, disease, and death. I see. So if I read someone who's written something, if I listen to someone like a Gary Nall, who's spouting information, but we consider it disinformation, but what if it's true? What if everything Gary Nall and others like him on the air said is true? That's irrelevant. Truth was dead the first day of this battle. Academia saw to that. And have you seen freedom of speech? Well, that's why is it the First Amendment? What is our first, you know, our first right is the right of freedom of speech and assembly. But it's not any longer. I'm 46 years on Pacifica Network that for a long time was a open forum for freedom of speech and ideas. That's a long time ago. Today, I'm censored, and I've just quit a lot of the stations because of censorship from a free speech forum. Hypocrisy reigns everywhere. So when you look at someone who risks having their body invaded with an experimental drug, risks taking medications that will not help them but actually exacerbate their condition, like antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs, and much of chemotherapy, and much of heart medications, then where does that put the average person? Because the second part is, not only are we militarizing everything that once was not, and we're weaponizing it, so people are terrified. The doctors who came forth during COVID and told us we can treat a disease early and prevent them from going to the hospital or dying, they were right. And they saved hundreds of thousands of lives. But then they were wrong because the establishment said, you're just giving junk to these people. You're not helping them. Let's take away your license. Let's put you on the front page, center page of the New York Times, where Dr. Robert Malone was just virtually, he was destroyed with no objectivity in the so-called paper of record. The paper of record long ago was weaponized, captured entirely. Remember Weapons of Mass Destruction, Judith Miller, New York Times. How many people died? Over a million, displaced over 20 million. What was the consequences to the New York Times? Zero. How about Judith Miller? Zero. Did anyone quit because they were part of that? No. Where's the integrity in journalism? It doesn't exist. So, here we are. All of our institutions have betrayed us, every single one. The religious institution have betrayed us. Where are they? Where is Daniel, where are the Berrigan brothers when we need them? Where are the demonstrations by religious leaders in this country, of all religions, against what's happening to the religious leaders in Ukraine that Zelensky has arrested and thrown out of the country and closing down their Orthodox churches? None, not a single demonstration. And where are the university professors and teachers and adjunct professors and tenure professors protesting the identity politics and critical race theory that even a person with a sub-level IQ would realize are inherently racist? No, the new anti-racism is 100% racist. Wow. You know what they would do with Martin Luther King? You know what they would do with Malcolm X today? They'd be canceled and erased and disgraced. Because the young people who have no knowledge, wisdom of anything, they're completely illiterate, and the ones that have given them free rein are virtually the entire professional class in the United States. Because who are the people running the very corporations you're talking about? The media, academia, corporate America. These are the technocrats. They're amoral. They don't care how they make their money as long as they're making money. As you said, there's a disproportionality between those who are getting rich and those who are getting poor. What have we done? Name me a single thing, Tim, that our government has done that is helping de-ghettoize cities, helping to get better educated children, helping charter schools, helping parents. Nothing. Throwing some money at people, a little bit of money during COVID, that didn't change the dynamic. So I'm asking a basic question of you. Can you show me any part of our society, any institutions, any governmental institutions, any of the leading spokespersons in the mainstream that appear on television, any of the journalists from the mainstream media who have been at all, at any time, honest and objective about the problems and solutions, if talking about the problems also showed they were part of the problem? Those are my concerns. Choose any of that to address in the concept of wokeism, critical race theory, and identity politics, all under the new moniker of conspiracy theories, because everything I just said, I can prove is true. Everything they said about COVID, I can prove is wrong. The forum is once again yours.
There's a lot to say about all of these things. And I would start with what you said about government. The governments are not there to help people. They're there for the people who sponsor them and fund them. which for a long time has been corporations, and they serve their corporate masters very well. And this accounts for the massive upward transfer of wealth, which leads to a concentration of power. We now see that really half a dozen asset managers, notably BlackRock and Vanguard, they have a controlling share of most of the major corporations, including Alphabet, which is Google, and therefore YouTube, and of course the big pharma companies. So any opportunity for democratic participation becomes increasingly narrow and increasingly difficult, especially in the context of militarized police, in which people who want to engage in direct demonstrations, for example, would simply be attacked by the police. So that's what's happening, as far as I can see, not only in the US, but in so-called Western democracies generally, because these asset managers are buying more and more controlling shares in foreign corporations, including in China. Actually, people talk about that it's going to be the century of China. But if you look closely at some of China's major corporations, the asset firms, US-based asset firms, have controlling shares there too. And part of the anti-China propaganda is designed to make the regime open itself up to more US-led, elite US-led investments. And as far as the effects on how people are treating each other in this irrational and condemning way, this is one of the many unhealthy responses to the fact that people's lives are being increasingly destroyed generation after generation by this economic system. And people often have good intentions. The old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The surveys and polls of people who engage in and support cancel culture overwhelmingly say that they believe they're trying to help and protect vulnerable people by canceling, as they see it, bullies or people who are being offensive. And there's a contradiction in terms. They're called young illiberal progressives. Well, illiberal progressive is a contradiction. You can't have an illiberal progressive. Progressivism and liberalism traditionally would go together, because the whole point of liberalism in theory is that the rights of the individual and the group are protected. So if you have a controversy about a particular issue, let's say somebody's in close proximity with a colleague who has really offensive views, it's up to the society and the institution to find compromising grounds where the individual can express their appalling views and have a right to those views, and the person who's being affected by them can find a space where they don't have to put up with this person. That's, for example, in the workspace or in higher education. When it comes to offensive views on television or the internet, just stop listening to them. That's not so difficult. But this kind of compromising, open discussion, finding new ways to approach problems, that's not helpful for politicians and corporations who seek to control us. They want to put everybody in an either or, left or right, up or down dialectic system. And this is an old method of social control that at least goes back to ancient Greece, probably before then. People in positions of power have always sought to create these kind of simplistic divisions which force people to take a side on a particular issue. And what's happening today, particularly through the lens of social media, as it's called, which there's nothing social about it, and it doesn't have much to do with media either. These are giant systems of manipulation and control, which we know from, for example, Facebook whistleblowers say that, yes, we invent things like infinite scroll to capture your time. This fits into the militarization of cancel culture, because if you look at where the internet comes from, it was developed by the military after the Second World War. DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or ARPA as it was then, they put defense on there just to make it sound good and justify it to the taxpayer. The internet largely came out of the ARPANET. And if you look at the infrastructure of the systems that enable communication today, the satellites and so on, this is overwhelmingly in the military sector. And the military's committed to full spectrum dominance, including information dominance. And if you look at basically what is the internet today, Google, which has 80% of the search engine so-called market, which is not a market, it's a monopoly. Google was created with seed funding from the CIA's venture capital firm InQtel, and they have programs. One was called FRED, which would de-rank anti-war sites, and it would promote the so-called mainstream, which is a state corporate media. The social media, we know from the testimonies of Jack Dorsey and Zuckerberg, they were quite openly telling Congress that, yes, we had the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI advising us about so-called threats to national security, and we responded. And, of course, that means shutting down people's social media accounts, including the president, whether you like Trump or loathe him. That's not the point. Once an unaccountable tech giant that basically comes out of the military intelligence sector can shut down the president's social media account, then this really is, as NASA said 20 years ago, everyone will be the new enemy, with the aim of preventing societal disruptions. In other words, the peasants mustn't revolt against the oppressive system. And Alan MacLeod, who's a journalist and also got a PhD in media studies, he went through all the LinkedIn pages of the Facebook employees, and he compiled a massive list of really dozens of so-called former FBI, former CIA, former military intelligence who now work in content policing at Facebook. And we all know how these so-called social media companies operate. They have these arbitrary and contradictory and bizarre community guidelines, and they'll just cancel you if you say or do anything which they don't like. And I can't even say it's designed for us to internalize censorship. I think it's more complicated than that, because you can be canceled now for things that you don't even know what you've supposedly done, which is creating a new level of psychological warfare. That's what happened to me, for example. They never actually told me what I had done that merited cancellation. And a lot of people have found that online. They've been kicked off their social media, and they haven't really known what they've done. And part of this comes from what these corporations perceive as social pressure to do the right thing, like with Alex Jones with his Sandy Hook claims. Again, whether you believe them or not is not the point. He should have a right to his opinions. And yet, largely because of that, YouTube, which is owned by Google, They went on what was called the Great Deplatforming Spree, where they removed, I think, 10,000 accounts and hundreds of thousands of videos. And it was overwhelmingly things that question prevailing narratives. And again, when you are in a situation where you can't debate or reason or even ignore, the only thing that you can do is cancel somebody because you don't like what they're saying, or you feel threatened by it, or you think it's offending somebody else. This is making people proudly anti-intellectual. And throughout history, anti-intellectualism has been one of the core elements of fascism. And it's quite disturbing that people now, as I mentioned, the surveys, they describe themselves as illiberal progressives. And they think that illiberalism is a solution to protecting minorities. And in my case, in my professional work, I was funded to create a device that would help blind and visually impaired people. And now, because of Jane Grant and Katie Anglis and this anonymous complainant who the university is still protecting, I'm not able to develop this device. So potentially blind and visually impaired people have lost out. So that's a vulnerable category of people because of these woke cancel culture types who didn't have the decency to even tell me what I'd done, which is Kafkaesque. And instead just shut me down. And unfortunately, this is a really common problem now for so many people, not just in academia, but in academia alone. The National Association of Scholars reckons that in recent years, over 200 people in higher education in North America, Canada too, have been fired or forced into early retirement. And it seems as if, you know, some of this is because of this new invention of conspiracy theorists as a dangerous class of people without any, we don't even know what that means. What does that mean, a conspiracy theorist?
Tim, let me just add this in. When I first became a member of the alternative health community, back in 1967, there was already a campaign well underway by the American Medical Association to destroy the entire field of chiropractic. In fact, in its official publication, it was considered an unscientific cult, and therefore insurance wouldn't cover it. Medical schools would not allow chiropractic students. And you couldn't refer a patient to a chiropractic if you're a regular physician or accept a patient from a chiropractic. And it was only because someone left at my desk, downstairs in my building, internal documents from the AMA. To this day, I don't know who it was. And I got a bunch of these. I put these together, one other person, a man named Joe Lisa, a reporter myself, and I published them. And then I did three more publications about the AMA violating the Sherman Antitrust Act and restraint of trade. But it not only was chiropractic they were attacking, every single form of alternative healing. They attacked the Hoxie cancer treatment and the Kerbiasen cancer treatment, and they attacked nutrition, they attack body-mind medicine, yoga, meditation, thought it was all quackery. And every single doctor, and I knew every single doctor in the United States who was using anything that would be called complementary alternative medicine, this was all garbage to them. In fact, they labeled it quackery. And it was, if you tried to defend yourself by showing there was actually legitimate clinical outcomes and legitimate science in the National Library of Medicine supporting it, they said, well, that's just conspiracy theories. So this was going on way back then. Dr. Robert Atkins, Dr. Stuart Berger, Dr. Michael Schachter, Dr. Warren Levin, every single holistic doctor in New York and California were all under attack without exception by the state medical boards. The media would never give them a fair interview. If you had a patient and they were cured of alternative therapies, it was, quote, well, it was never had the cancer to begin with. So what I'm saying now, Tim, is that what you are experiencing has been going on for a long time, at least since the 1930s, when the Rockefeller family started the entire cancer establishment and created the pharmaceutical industry, when he used his enormous resources, the wealthiest man in the world at that time, and they formed the American Cancer Society and all these other groups in Rockefeller University. And you just follow up till today and see, you mentioned BlackRock, you mentioned Vanguard, you could have had State Street, Berkshire Hathaway, and Fidelity rounding up the top five asset managers. And they own, as you said correctly, so they own the majority of stock in a corporation. And therefore, they're allowed to have policy-making decisions on the board of directors by getting one or more board members on the board. Therefore, they know what everything is being going on in all of industry. So if you've got two competitors, let's just arbitrarily say Coke and Pepsi, you think they're different companies. What if both companies' controlling interest was one of these companies? And what if one of them was having bad sales and needed to reorganize or sell, and another one is having good sales? They would know how to withdraw the sale, their stock from one company, put it into another. This has never been investigated yet. The type of insider trading that is possible when you have the knowledge of everything occurring everywhere at all times, because you can control the deep state, which has been involved in everything, the FBI, the CIA, the National Security Agency. Did Clapper, head of the National Security Agency, was he found in violation of Congress when he perjured himself by lying, saying the American public was not being monitored when they did monitor him? And Obama knew that. Everyone in his security administration knew that. No. He was hired to go on one of these television stations as a consultant. Head of the FBI, the same. Head of the CIA, same thing, Brennan. Lied. And then 51 of the top intelligence agencies in the world, meaning, or in the United States, we have about 17 major intelligence agencies, but then the top directors and the people who run these, 51 of them, all lied and wrote that the Hunter Biden laptop was probably a Russian conspiracy. But they all knew at the time that it wasn't. Were any of them in any way challenged? No. They're still as powerful as they were. So we're at a place where a small group of people, relatively speaking, who have integrated with the World Economic Forum, the Business Roundtable, the Atlantic Council, Council on Foreign Relations, and numerous other NGOs and foundations and think tanks, they control everything. They control all policy decisions. They're opinion makers and policy leaders both. If you do the right thing on media, you'll get a big contract, but don't ever challenge the narrative. As a result, you hear the same identical words used over and over and over again. And they use conspiracy theory a lot. And now they're using racist a lot. They're using the identity politics playing card. So do you see at this moment that there is any institution or individuals capable of changing the rules of engagement for corporate America, governmental overreach, and the militarization of every agency of government, and major policymakers within our society? I do not. I do not see anything changing, because I've never seen anyone give up power and all that comes with power. But I'd like your input.
Sure. First, I'll just mention that you're right, that smearing people as conspiracy theorists is an old tactic. But where I think it's a new situation today is that now conspiracy theorists are seen as not just people to laugh at, but actually a threat to national security. And because the term is so vague, anybody who deviates from the orthodoxy of thought can be considered a conspiracy theorist. And we're noticing a shift in between the left and right. And what I mean by that is in the Cold War, for example, the majority of academics who were cancelled were considered communists or socialists and were cancelled by the right wing under McCarthyism, whereas today the majority might be right wingers who are being cancelled by these self-described illiberal progressives, which is, as I said, a contradiction in terms. So there's been a shift there. And that doesn't mean I agree with the right wing, absolutely not. But I do agree with them that they have a right to their opinions without consequence. That's an old liberal idea. And unfortunately, in terms of your question about what is there a way out of this, the whole notion of wokeism and defending the rights of vulnerable people as they see it, that's a very sly psychological tactic, because everybody wants to feel like a good person and a moral person. So if people convince themselves that their behavior is in the interests of others, they feel just and right to act in illiberal ways. And they're not just and right, because they're taking away the rights of the individual. And in the case of like what happened to me, as I say, they're actually inadvertently harming vulnerable people. So it's a very clever psychological tactic to make people think that they're on the right side. And that way they can get away with doing all sorts of terrible things, which, as we've seen from history, can eventually lead to atrocities when you begin to demonize people that you disagree with to the point where they're actually hated, and a new class of othering is created, where those are other people, they're not us, so therefore we can dispose of them. That leads to an extremely dangerous place. So first of all, I think we have to really educate young illiberal progressives, as they're called, that what you're doing is actually counterproductive. It's hurting vulnerable people. And it's driving people who might be left-wing or liberal to the right, because the right-wing now pose as the protectors of free speech and freedom of thought. And in the book, Militarizing Cancel Culture, where I run through all of this stuff, I look at the examples of Matt Taibbi and Glenn Greenwald and many others, these great journalists who they're being shunned by their traditional, the people that would traditionally support them, the liberal left, and they're now being driven towards the right. Like Greenwald appears on Tucker Carlson, and Elon Musk has trusted Matt Taibbi with the Twitter files. So this is what happens when you start canceling people. They don't go away. They're just driven elsewhere. And the real people actually working against war, like Consortium News and Mint Press, their PayPal accounts were shut down. PayPal was co-founded by Peter Thiel, who also co-founded Palantir, which has Pentagon contracts. So there's a whole infrastructure here of information, the architecture of information that the Pentagon and its minions, who make a lot of money from them. You know, these are multi-millionaires and even now centibillionaires in the case of Musk, who I've just heard recently actually is limiting what Substack. I mean, Substack was a place where you could go and publish freely, like the greats like Seymour Hersh, who Pulitzer Prize winning, you know, one of the best journalists of all time, Seymour Hersh. People like him and Chris Hedges and John Pilger, they've been driven out of the mainstream, like the New York Times and the Guardian, and they now go to places like Substack. And Twitter now apparently is limiting the ability to share Substack articles, because the Anti-Defamation League is claiming that there's too much anti-Semitism on Substack. So I think we really have to educate people about where this is coming from. And I don't really see any groups or institutions dealing with this, because they tend to fall into the same category of polarization. I mean, the ones who are fighting this tend to be quite right-wing. So it's pushing, as I said, pushing people who might have been left or on the fence to the right, which is just more polarization, which is what we can do without. So the hope actually is the public opinion polls suggest that a majority of people now are sick of identity politics and cancel culture, because many people now are living in fear of what
Tim,
they can say.
Tim, unfortunately, we're out of time. But at the same time, I have to ask a question we do not have chance today to deal with, maybe on an upcoming program. What responsibility does the average person have for staying out of any discussion by staying silent at a time when their own rights are being captured against their own interest? And yet we have had just crickets everywhere. So I also want to hold those who stayed silent when they know the truth or should find the truth accountable for part of this as well. Tim Coles, I highly recommend your book. I read it late last night, and I thank you for coming on today. And if people would like to reach you, how can they quickly?
PIPR.co.uk, Plymouth Institute for Peace Research, PIPR.co.uk. You can use the contact form.
Thank you very much. I'm Gary Nall. I want to thank you all for paying attention to this particular Progressive Commentary Hour. Have a nice day.